I want to ask you tonight to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark and the 6th chapter. I'm going to talk about something out of this text that I have not ever preached before. Some of you will be glad and some of you will be dismayed and some of you will think it's not even spiritual. But if you don't think this is spiritual, we're about to call Jesus on the carpet, and I don't think you want to do that, do you? I don't want to call him on the carpet. I saw some people try that in the scriptures and it didn't work out so well, so I don't believe I'll do that. In Mark chapter 6, I want to speak to you on the subject of coming apart to rest. In that 6th chapter, we come to the 30th verse, and I want to really read verses 30 and 31. Verse 30 says to us, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Now, doesn't that seem normal that they'd want to get with Jesus and say, "Let us tell you what we've been teaching. Let us tell you what we've been doing." And here's what Jesus said in verse 31 unto them. "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Now, in the text, let me just talk about the word meanings first, and then we'll make some application here, because I do like on Sunday evenings, I learned as a pastor that sometimes teaching what the Scripture says is not quite enough, that we need to take time to apply to our lives what the Scripture text says. And I remind us that in the 31st verse, first of all, "Come ye yourselves apart." Dr. Vance Havner used to say, if you don't come apart for a while and rest, you're probably going to come apart. And we've seen people come apart. And we have programmed ourselves in this hour to run ourselves ragged when it is not required. I mean, tell you folks, the American home life in the average young couple, with or without children, is that they have seen fit to book themselves every night doing something. Now, that's by design. I mean, they've done that on their own. Nobody did that to them. And then before long, the devil uses that because we don't understand what's in this text. Jesus said, if you don't come apart for a while, you, in essence, are going to come apart. Let's look at the words once again. "Come aside," he is saying, "yourselves. Come ye yourselves apart. Come aside into a desert." That means a lonely, a secluded type place. And he said, "I want you to rest a while." It is a word that has to do with reclining. It is a word that absolutely has to do to repose. It has to do, I got tickled at one of the definitions, said 40 winks. Take a nap. And that's what he's referring to. Because he said there were many coming and going and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were worn slick. I remember in my younger days of working with Papa Sam, and we had a pastor, a preacher friend, he was pastoring at the time, and he was known to be up by 4 o'clock, and I think he was studious. He was quite wise, but by noon every day, he wasn't fit for the rest of the human race, and anytime you talked to him, he acted like somebody who needed an upper pill. He acted like he was depressed. And to tell you the truth, he was just a little bit negative and grouchy. Now imagine if we want to get real transparent with each other, we all can have a little negative day at times and have a downer, not be quite as upbeat as we ought to be. And so he mentioned that and was kind of complaining about how tired he was. Well, he complained to the wrong one when he complained to Papa Sam, and he said, "I could help you with that if you want me to and will ask me to, but I don't want to hurt your feelings." And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "You're up at 4 o'clock every morning. You never take a nap. You're tired from one end to the other, and you don't know it, but your attitude isn't very good." And sometimes, he said to him, "The most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap." Why? Well, what happens to you and me when we get excessively tired? You start to bite somebody's head off. Leave me alone. And you think, well, he got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Or she got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. And we don't think that something that apparently non-spiritual, but in fact very spiritual, connects with our lives before God, where Jesus said, you need to take yourself and come apart, come aside for a while to a place that is secluded and rest a while, repose a while, get you some 40 winks. Now, I want to suggest to you that this, in part, that I want to talk to you about is cultural. I grew up in a country setting. We couldn't spell vacation. I had no concept growing up of what it meant to take 3, 4, 5 days and go somewhere. That world is like speaking of some other planet. I have no concept of that. We didn't do that. And so I, of course, grew up and left home and got married and then started traveling all over the country. And I realized that families do take family vacations. And I thought, well, that's nice. And I do think that's nice. I'm trying to learn, even though I'm a little old to be learning, still how to do that. And then I began to listen to some of my own folks that I pastor. And here's what I would hear, these comments. Oh, man, I tell you what, we was off on vacation, but praise God, I had to rest when I get home to get over the vacation. Man, I tell you what, I was wiped out. Now, I'll make a statement to you. If you take some days off and you come home and you're wiped out, you didn't do something God wanted you to do. I have a friend, I won't reveal who he is in order to protect the guilty. And when he goes on a trip, we've got to have every minute regimented. I'd rather have a root canal than to be with a guy like that. Can you not sit down somewhere and take a long breath and enjoy life? And those people will drive you nuts. We were off with them one time, and we did a whole big deal to get down to the beach, set up umbrellas, chairs, and all, and stayed 15 minutes, and he looked at me and said, what are we going to do now? I said, you're going to sit right there on your behind just like I am on mine. We ain't doing nothing right now since you asked. Folks, I don't go off to be away so that I can just be out of your presence. In fact, that's the hardest part of being away, and I'm being very sincere with that. I like my church family. I love my church family, and I also like them. I hear people talk about loving folks, and when I examine it, I think, you may love them, but it's obvious you don't like them. I can tell you I love you and I like you. But when I go off to do whatever I want to do, or if I'm with my wife and family, try to involve myself with something they want to do. I don't want to be a stick in the mud for them while I'm gone, but I want some things to happen in my heart. And folks, going, if you want to even go to Hawaii, God bless you and go. But if you take every moment you're gone and you feel like you've got to take 2 weeks worth of activities and put into 1 week, you didn't do you or your family or your spiritual life a bit of good. Because you will not be toward God any more than is the rest that is in your body, the refreshment that's in your body. I've always had to serve God in a body. I've never served God outside my body. So I want my body to stay in shape as much as I want my spirit to stay in shape. And so in the 31st verse, he says to them, come apart yourselves into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So if we want to come apart to rest and do it in a way that God can be honored and we can be blessed, what are some of the just practical things that we need to remember, whether we go to Hawaii or we go to our backyard? Let me mention these to you. First of all, whatever you do, do what you do that is fun to you. Don't go off and do something that you don't enjoy. Have some fun with it. That's number one. Does that seem too hard? Do something you like. I mean, men, I doubt you will take off a full week just to go somewhere to a major city and visit the mall every day. I doubt you'll do that for some reason. And so go do something while you're away that you enjoy, something that is not part of your routine. Recognize that you will be a better person. One of the things your pastor tries to do, I try to read something I normally wouldn't read. It may be something that is political in nature. It might be something that is social in nature. Senator Tim Scott and Senator Trey Gowdy have co-written a book. And I'm interested in that book, and I may read that the next time I have some time to be away to read. I think that would be refreshing. Somebody's already recommended that book to me. So do something that you will enjoy. Number two, come home rested and not exhausted. Determine, now, you know, when I come home, I'm going to come home feeling better than when I left. Why do I want to leave home, spend a bunch of money while I'm gone, and come home in worse shape than when I left? There's something about that picture that is not right. So come home rested and not exhausted. Take you some naps while you're gone. I mean, it's just wonderful. Do whatever else is a source of joy to you. Don't come home and say, oh, my goodness, this is terrible. I spent $1,500 and this is terrible. It is terrible. You could have stayed home, done better than that. Your wife just take your $1,500 and go to the mall and enjoy it by herself. You wouldn't have to be in such terrible shape. Number three, when you go off, listen carefully, be a joy to those that you're spending time with. Don't go off now on vacation and complain all the time you're there about we're down here and we're having to spend a nickel. Folks, there's a thing called budgeting. And if you've got enough to be away and spend $100, then go away and spend $100. If you've got enough to go away and can get God's approval and spend $1,000, then go away and spend $1,000. But go away and be a joy to those that you are going to spend time with, and don't complain about things while you're there. Do something that you and those you're with, be it your family, whoever, enjoy. If you have loved ones that mean lots to you, take them something back. It doesn't have to be a 5-carat diamond, but take something back. Till this day, my wife still has. I went to a state evangelism conference over at Jekyll Island. I walked into a gift shop, and they had a sand dollar about that size. And they had glued, Beth, what was that they glued there to make that into a poinsettia? What was that? I don't remember what that was. I think it was painted red, wasn't it? Red painted shark's teeth in the middle, and they made that sand dollar into what looked like a poinsettia. And it was, I think I paid a walloping $5 for it. And I brought it home to Beth. And I brought that to her just because I wanted her to have it, because I loved her. And it says, oh, while he was gone, he had me on his mind. And so you can work out ways to be a blessing. And if you'll remember, the more you can think of ways to be a blessing to others, all of a sudden the one that's blessed is you. Folks, we are never blessed when all of life turns in toward us. It's all about me. It's all about me. That's a good way to find you a prescription for misery. And the finest way to know you have it is this. Well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I deserve this. And I, you know, folks, your TV commercials will tell you, you deserve a break today. Be very careful that you turn everything toward you, so be a joy to those you're spending time with. Number four, I've already alluded to this, but read something of interest that you normally wouldn't read or have time to read. Folks, I do lots of reading. And I have people recommend lots of reading, but I don't spend a lot of time reading things that are not related in some way to ministry, Christian life, life in general, some way that will help me minister to people and minister to my own heart. So read something. People who read stay informed. It's good daily to find out what's going on in the world. I still like to hold a newspaper. I'm that age. I do read off the internet. I do get my Valdosta Times, both printed copy, and read it online. But I still like to hold a paper. I still like to hold a book. I mark in a book. And I still put something in a book as a book marker. So read something. Now, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, read something that will bless you spiritually. in this time that you're coming apart so you won't come apart at the seams, read something that will contribute to the spirit of a man. Recognize that your body needs feeding, nourishment to be strong, and your spirit is not made strong because you feed your body. You need to feed your spirit a nourishment that will do something to your spirit. Read a few pages. You don't have to read the whole book. Just find somebody that's got a copy along you. Read a few pages of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and then tell me what do we all have to complain about. Do something while you're away. You don't even have to know. When we've gone off with these young people to summer camp, we have at times gone to nursing homes for them to sing and minister. Oh, my goodness. Take some time, even when you're around here, to go into a nursing home and go up and down the halls and just speak to people. Take some little something to share with one of them. You may not have to know who it is. So while you're away, do something that will bless you. Read something that will bless you spiritually. Number six, consider what you would do if you didn't have anything you had to do. A lot of times when you're around the house, here's what I mean by that. When you're in your routine of work, I wish I had time for this. I wish I had time for that. I wish I could do this. I don't have time for anything. Well, if you take some time away, why don't you do some of that then? And folks, if I felt like something was primary, I would make some time to do it, but a lot of things we could enjoy would be secondary. Everything is not a top shelf, top tier issue. So consider what you would do if you didn't have to do anything. Number seven, spend some time praying about your life. Spend some time praying about your family. Spend some time praying about your future. You know, as long as the Lord lets us live, there's a future for every one of us. You could be 100 years of age, and there's still a future if you're breathing. And if you're 15 years of age, there's a future. If you're 8 years of age, there's a future. But we who are more knowledgeable of life, folks, there's a future out there. Do you pray about what God would have you do? Do you think about wherever you are in the stage of life? I doubt these teens or even the college group, I doubt they go off and think long about retirement. They're not in that stage of life. But think about, begin to assess. Put your thinking cap on. Look around. Think about the age of your mom and your dad. You won't have them forever. Think about your own age. I'm at the age where I look in the paper and there are a lot of obituaries. There are people younger than I am. And if you want to know if you're on the downhill side, double your age and see if you know anybody that age. You know, I begin to think about 64 and I double that. For some reason, I hadn't seen anybody 128 years old. So that must mean I'm on the downhill side. And way down yonder somewhere, maybe closer than we think, is a doorway, and it's called death. And since we find that God nor anybody else has carved out something where we won't have to go through that, think about the coming days, how you want your life to count. Don't wait until you're 50 to decide how you want your life to count. I want to repeat something you've heard me say several times, but it so impacted my life, I seek to impact the lives of others with this same statement. When I was approximately 15 years of age, my pastor made this statement. You young people need to decide, are you going to be leaders or followers? The world is filled with followers. Leaders think about where they want to go with their life. And they don't follow the crowd. Leaders never follow the crowd. Leaders think about what does God want me to do with my life. And whatever it is God wants you to do, that's the most wonderful thing in the world, as long as God wants you to do it. So pray about your life, your family, and your future. Pray for them. Pray that God would open up your understanding. That, Lord, help me to perceive things that I've never even thought of before. You see, folks, the Holy Spirit is able to release divine impulses in your head, in your brain, in your heart, in your spirit. Pray. And last but not least, remember to read your Bible. Boy, that's so crucial. And the next time you need to take some time apart, once again, whether you're going out of town or going into your backyard and you've determined, I am spending, let's just suppose it's a Memorial Day, I'll just sense that's upcoming, and you're not going to be working that day, your place might be closed or whatever you have the opportunity, why don't you decide, you know, on that day, God being my helper, I'm not going to turn my hands to a thing other than put food in my mouth. I'm going to spend this day in leisure to reflect and consider and pray and think and enjoy life and my family and those around me. Now, let me tell you how significant this is. When the Creator Himself, the Master Creator, created all that we understand was created, He did that in 6 days, and you know that on the seventh day He rested. And in the Old Testament, He gave us a day of rest that is called the Sabbath. Sabbath meaning rest. Now listen carefully. He did not give us a Sabbath day in the New Testament. It is never repeated in the New Testament to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. However, the God who wanted there to be a day of rest in the New Testament reminded us that there does remain, therefore, a rest for the people of God, a rest of heart, a rest of spirit. And unless we've completely lost our minds, we know that these bodies are not immortal. They are very mortal. And there comes a moment that you have to sit down, you have to get nourishment, and you finally have to go to bed and go to sleep in order to function. If it wasn't for sleep, we'd all be gone this next week. You couldn't survive. So don't look on that as an unholy or unspiritual thing. Your God is the one that gave it to you. And from the Old Testament, which is a foreshadow of the New Testament, and the New Testament, a completion of what's in the Old Testament, He established that there should be times of rest and refreshment to us. And it's not as hard as we make it, but let's just suppose I've got 2 children, 1 child, 3 children, and I just feel that in order to keep up with the Joneses, their daughter is in so-and-so, so my daughter's got to be there. Their son's in so-and-so, my son's got to be there. And then on the next night, well, so-and-so is taking place, and we need to do that. After all, we all got our kids down there at the same school, and I need to do this. And after a while, here's what happens. Brother John, are you listening? You don't probably know this. I just wanted to share it with you that my wife and I have these 2 kids, and man, work has never been busier, and these kids are tied up in things at school, and man, I've enjoyed my class, but I'm going to need to give that up for a little while. And right there, the demons of hell set in on a laughter like you cannot imagine. They have suckered you all the way to hell and back, because your answer to it is give up the things of God. Not so. Never. I mean, we've got folks in your church that thinks absolutely that the PTA, and I'm not opposed to the PTA, or now I think it's PTO. The PTA, they think that's more important. They think the Moose, the Goose, and the Who Got Loose Club is more important than what's going on in the eternal church of God that's going to live and abide forever. Folks, the church as we know it is going to be caught out. And telling the church every time you're under pressure, I need to give up my responsibilities, is exactly what the devil wants. And because something is good doesn't mean that I've got to be a part of it. In fact, most Baptists I know, they don't give up the best for something bad. They give up the best for something good. And the good has become a millstone around our necks. And we get frustrated. We give our spouses what's left over. We're tired most of the time. And if we would listen to ourselves talk, man, I'm just tired. I tell you, I'm just tired. Man, I'm just tired. Now, folks, listen. If we stay tired all the time, we've either got a physiological problem and need to see a doctor, or we've got a spiritual problem because we've let the devil run stuff in on us that we felt compelled to do that God was never a part of. It's not my place to tell you what that is in your life, but it is my place to know what it is in mine, and my place to warn you that the same thing that can happen in me can happen in you. Don't sacrifice the joy of your walk with Jesus and your relationship to your family for any external thing. I had a man say to me recently whose work requires that he be out of church many times more than he's at church. So he's doing that in the will of God. He said, Pastor, I get the CDs. He said, man. He said, I've noticed that something happens even though I feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do. He said, when I don't have the fellowship of the people. He said, something happens where I diminish in my spirit. Mm-hmm. God says, Wayne Robertson, you can't make it even sitting at home with your Bible in your lap. You've got to have the fellowship of God's people. I need you loving on me, and I need to love on you. We need each other for the body life. And I can't make it any other way. And I don't get that when I involve myself so much with other things. And then I become tempted to say, well, what can I cut off? And then you'll hear the statements. Brother David, I've enjoyed the time I've been in the orchestra. I've enjoyed the time I've been in the choir. But I tell you, something's got to give. And for a while, I'm going to take a leave of absence. And the devil says, exactly what I wanted. Reevaluate. And consider in this sixth chapter of Mark in the 31st verse, come ye yourselves apart for a while into a desert place and rest. Father in heaven, we may tonight need more spiritual rest than physical rest. But if we get ourselves into a position where we are so physically tired that our spirits are not even alert unto you, we could fall into a trap of deceit and deception that the enemy has set forth on us. I pray, Lord, for our families. I pray for the joy of the Lord Jesus to be poured out on each one of them in superabundance. I ask you, O God, by your Spirit, to bless the men of our homes with wisdom. I pray, O God, that the wives and mothers of our homes would pray for their men and encourage their men and follow their men. I pray, O God, that we will give ourselves vocationally to what you've called us to, which also honors you. And we will do our best not to let ourselves get in a position where in our physical fatigue, we become spiritually fatigued and we lose sight of all that is at stake. Bless your people tonight. Lord, I have a notion that what you're doing in this message will be far-reaching and will be considered quite more after this night is over. Teach us, O God. Give us sensitive spirits to your leadership. And may we be willing to follow you and to live for you and to structure and consider the will of God for all the activities of our lives and those of our families. Lord, I want to thank you that you saved us to make us yours, to live your life through us. We want to be the most effective at that as we know how. So tonight we pray for refreshment and renewal, for a fresh visitation of the Spirit of God upon our spirits and a fresh imparting of physical strength to our bodies. Equip us now for all you'd have us to do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. Brother Jeffrey leads us as you stand.